Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away. And sat, rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not there, for he has risen, just as he said, Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. I pray that it may be an encouragement to our lives, to lead us in becoming more like you, and to grow and strengthening our faith and our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so this is an amazing story of both Marys going to look for Jesus after he had been crucified. And so when I'm reading through this story, one of the things that I thought about was just the expectation of what the women thought they would go see and find once they arrived to the tomb. And so I don't know if you guys have ever experienced or hoped for something just to, when the moment that you arrived, you were disappointed because your expectations were not met. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever, someone was talking to you about a restaurant so much, they're like, "Oh, this restaurant is so amazing, it's so amazing." And then you go, and then you finally go and you finally try the place and you're like, "Ah, it's okay." And you're disappointed, and your disappointment, you have disappointment because of your expectations. And that happens throughout all different parts of areas of our lives. You know, I remember when I was single, and then I was like, "Oh, it'd be so amazing to start dating," and so many expectations of what dating life would be like. And then you start dating, it's like, "Oh, wow, it's completely different." And in so many different ways, we encounter this idea of our disappointment and our expectations. And so the danger of losing hope is that we sometimes stop fighting, or we believe our circumstances are impossible to overcome, as we accept that things are just the way they are and we simply give up. So in our helplessness, we are left asking God why, seeking to understand. And when you think about the majority of human disappointments with God revolve on us believing that God should have met our expectations, that things should go our way, that life should be perfect, that we should get what we want and when we want. And there's this book, I think it's called The Road Less Traveled, and one of the things it tells you in terms of just living life is one of the things that you should just expect about life is that, yes, life is hard. And there's this other book that I've been reading on by John Maxwell. It's called Leading in Tough Times. And one of the things John Maxwell talks about in terms of leadership, he says, expect things to get difficult. And so the expectation of what we think things should be and how things are sometimes clashes of what our expectations are. And sometimes it's easy there for disappointment to set in. And then, but I think the amazing thing for me that when we have this, our relationship with God is that God, that, yeah, I hope along the way, and in the way, and I want to put it in the context of both Marys here, is that I hope I'm disappointed by God, and I hope that you are disappointed by God. Okay? Let me clarify that for you. And I want us to look at this passage again, so you understand what I'm saying, that I hope that God disappoints you along the way. And in this context, okay? So looking at this passage, again, it says that it was a Sabbath, and it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. And it says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Okay? So when we're looking at this story, we have these women and these disciples of Jesus that they have had a relationship with Jesus. They have walked with Jesus to the point in his life where they have now seen him. They've seen him at his worst in his life, and they've seen him crucified. Okay? They go and see him crucified. And so what happens? They bring Jesus down and they put him into a grave. Okay? So what's the expectation of Mary and of both Marys here as they go and go look at the grave? Okay? Do you think they're going to the grave to expect Jesus has risen, or do you think they're going to the grave to go visit Jesus in his grave? Okay? And for me, that's huge, because when it says they came to look at the grave, what were they looking for? What was their expectation? Their expectation was to go to the place where Jesus had been buried, to the gravesite. Now, were they going there to mourn? Were they there going there to just talk about all the great moments they had with Jesus? I don't know what their thoughts were about them arriving to the grave, but they get to this place where they arrive to the grave. And it says, behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And in this moment, there's this supernatural occurrence of an earthquake and an angel descending in that moment. And his appearance was light, like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. Okay, so who are they looking for? What kind of Jesus are they looking for in that moment? They're looking for a Jesus in the grave who has been crucified. That is their expectation. They wake up that morning, they get ready, and they said, let's go to the grave and let's go see Jesus, the one who had been crucified. But the angel says, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. And this is where I'm saying that I hope that I'm disappointed by God, and I hope that you get disappointed by God, that there'll be moments, hope maybe in your life, where what you're expecting to go and see is a grave. That you're expecting to see the Jesus that was crucified. But instead of your expectation being met in that moment, that you're maybe in this sense, you're not disappointed, but you're relieved. And you hear the words that he is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. So maybe I don't hope that you... Maybe I spoke poorly in terms of saying I hope you get disappointed, but maybe the proper word should have been, I hope your expectations are not met about Jesus. That maybe your expectation is, I'm going to go to the grave and I'm going to go see this Jesus. And that when you get to that place, I hope your expectations are not met, and instead you encounter something completely different, just like both Marys did. They went to the grave to encounter Christ who had been crucified, but instead they encounter an angel that tells them, do not be afraid, for he who you are looking for has risen. And in that way, That is my prayer for you, for myself, in those moments of expectation in our lives of what we thought things should be or how things would be in our lives, where we're thinking it's a grave. I've reached the grave point in my life, that we would have this encounter with Jesus and see that he is no longer there, but that he is risen. And it says that he is going ahead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." And so in this whole journey of both Marys, they wake up that morning going with the intent, with the expectation of visiting Jesus at the grave to see him who had been crucified, but instead they encounter something completely different. They encounter an angel that tells them, "Do not be afraid, for Christ has risen." And in that way, I hope that your expectations are not met. That in moments where you thought you were getting to a place where you're visiting a grave point, you could say, in your life, where your expectation is just to see what has become of things, that you would keep your hope and your eyes on Jesus and recognize that Jesus is not dead, but he has risen. And I think that's when I look at the story of Christianity and the gospel, that is one of the things that we can grab hold on and grab hope of in our lives. That he can take the grave moments in our lives, cause supernatural circumstances to occur in our lives, and exceed our expectations with something as miraculous as he's no longer here, but he has risen. And I think, and I like how here Matthew lets us know how both Marys are feeling. It lets us know that it says that they were with fear and with great joy. And I think this is something sometimes we ignore in our journey and in our walk with God, that we're kind of sometimes so overly focused on the facts of what we're going through in our lives. We're looking at our circumstances of this is happening, and we're trying to reason through it from a cerebral point of view. But here I like how Matthew lets us know how both Marys were feeling. They were feeling with fear and with great joy at the same time. You know, if you're not a feeler, I would challenge you to, in those areas of your life, you know that when we look at the way we're created in God's image and the way that God has created us, when we look at this, at our body, we're looking at very, very different parts of ourselves. We're looking at our intellectual, our emotional, and our spiritual side of our lives. And in this part, when I look at that, I think about the fear and the great joy that they were having. Because I think when we go through our lives, we have these feelings that we're going through, that as we're journeying through things, we carry these feelings as well. And I like verse 9 where it says, "And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him." And so, again, this whole process that began one morning with them going to the grave, encountering an angel that tells them, "Jesus is no longer here. He has risen." And they have this sense of fear and great joy at the same time. You can imagine just how emotional that day could have been for them. And they encounter Jesus and they greet him. And it says they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And I think for me that eventually is where we eventually, that's the end point. Okay? And I think sometimes maybe in church we try to get people from where they start and we want to quickly get them, just worship God, get to the place of worship. But here it's this whole process that both Marys are undergoing where they're with their get to the grave, they have this encounter with the angel. The angel gives them a word. They have this great fear and joy. They then have this encounter with Jesus, and then they get to this place of worship. Okay? And I think that is eventually where we finally get to in our lives, is this place where we just fall at his feet and we worship him, that everything we have gone through in our lives, the expectations that we have, we now are able to see the big picture. That's when Mary and Martha, at the beginning, they're going through all of this, and they don't know what is next, but they're just going with what is happening at that moment of each stage of their lives. But they eventually get to this place where the fullness of everything that they're going through is revealed to them, that Jesus, who the angels told them that he has risen, eventually they encounter this Jesus once again, and their response is to worship him. And then Jesus says to them again, "Do not fear, do not be afraid, go and take word to my brethren to leave, and there they will see me." And I think for me, when I look at, when I get to the end of this part, is that how often fear plays a role in our lives, of the expectations that we may be struggling with in our lives. But Jesus speaks into those things and he says, "Do not be afraid." He doesn't say, "Why are you afraid?" in this part, but he just says, "Do not be afraid." And it says, "There they will see me." And I think for me, the reason why that is important is for Jesus' disciples, is not just the hearing that Jesus has resurrected, but they encounter a Jesus that has resurrected. And I think for our lives, when we're looking at the life of Jesus, we often relate to Jesus on the cross. But I think it's incomplete if all we ever relate to is Jesus on the cross and we never have a relationship, a real understanding of the Jesus who has resurrected as well. That we need an encounter, not just with Jesus at the cross, but the Jesus who has resurrected as well. And so as we go into this time of worship, invite Sterling to come up, is just as we're processing through this passage of expectations of things of life maybe not going the way we thought it would go, or things not going the way we thought they would go in terms of our relationship with God, that maybe in some way we got to a place that we see a grave. Okay? And so my prayer for you is that God would exceed the expectations that you have of what you hope to have seen and to have arrived at. And that you would have an encounter not with the Jesus who has been crucified, but with the Jesus who has risen. And what does that mean for your life? To know a Christ that was crucified for our sins, but resurrected so that we may have eternal life. And that eventually then we get to that place of where we just fall at his feet and we worship him. And so, Father, I just pray that in this morning that maybe like both Marys, that we've had moments in our lives where we were going to go see something but our expectations weren't met. I just pray that you would exceed the expectations that we have in our lives. That just as both Marys expected to go to a grave and to see a Christ who had been crucified, I pray that just like them, that instead we will come across a Christ that has been resurrected in our lives. That we hear the voice that he is no longer here, for he has risen. And so, Father, this morning I just pray that we would have a deeper revelation, not just of Christ crucified, but of Christ resurrected in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you and that we may just finally just arrive to this place of worship where we just fall at your feet and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the music fades, all the strips away, and the simply come, longing just to bring something that's so worth, that will bless your heart. I praise you more than a song, for the song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appeared, you looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm so low for the thing I made it, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I praise you more than a song, for the song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appeared, you looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm so low for the thing I made it, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm so low for the thing I made it, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. Yeah,
Father, thank you. And just like Paul prayed that to know you and to know the power of your resurrection. And so, Father, I pray that for ourselves, that we may know you and the power of your resurrection in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go into our community prayer. And let's pray for those that have cancer in this season. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for those that are sick but also need an encounter with Jesus' salvation in their lives. Let's pray for those that are sick for healing. Let's pray for our frontline medical workers. No one has COVID, so let's continue to pray for God's protection as well. Pray for those seeking jobs in this season. Let's pray for our mission focus, Singapore, Indonesia, and Philippines. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministry, IP, The Well, and River. Let's pray for our local outreach. For SP 2.0. Let's pray for the pregnancies that are happening. Let's pray for our house church's gathering tonight. Yeah, Father, thank you for this morning. We just surrender our expectations to you, our hopes, our disappointments. We just leave it all at your feet, and that we would encounter a resurrected Christ in each and every one of those areas of our lives. So, Father, we thank you. We give you this day as you lead us and guide us throughout our time with others. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.